Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The Chicago Cubs play here.
And Baez hits one in the air to right field and deep. Back goes Conforto. It's got a chance. Gone. Three-run homer, Javier Baez. Listen to this crowd.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR in HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
The Score!
Now it's time for Madden's Post, live from Madden's Post at Gallagher Way, starring Cubs manager Joe Madden and your host from Cubs Radio, Ron Coomer, on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Cubs, a radio.com sports station.
Welcome to the first Joe Madden's Post here at Joe's Restaurant that opened in May. Welcome, everybody. This has been a long time coming. We've thought about doing this for the last year and a half. Finally, we got the restaurant open here on Clark and Waveland. And how's everybody doing? We had a great Cubs win today. That makes the show even better. My name's Ron Coomer. I am on Cubs Radio on 670 The Score. And I'd like to welcome everybody and welcome our two guests. But before we welcome them, there's one guy that wears glasses more than I do that needs to come into the room because it's his damn restaurant. I mean, what the heck? The manager can't be late to his own show, can he, Tony?
What are we doing?
I think we have a sighting of the skipper in the background here.
Hey, when you're the steak, everybody waits on you at the steakhouse, right?
When you're the guy, that's right. Folks, I would like to welcome the winning manager of today, Joe Madden. Slide on in, Skipper. We are going to first of all start.
Where's my glass of wine?
Well, we need drinks here. We've got two cold ones.
We're already eating pizza over here.
Those were supposed to be props, but they didn't last long.
Did you try the Joe's pizza yet?
Yes.
It's outstanding.
Amazing.
Yep.
Amazing. The green olive.
We need, folks, try not to suck beer here.
Right. I need a.
We need a cab over here.
House cab.
And we got two cold ones there, so now. I was told a long time ago by a famous radio guy from St. Louis that you can't do radio without a cocktail.
That was Mr. Shannon. I had the pleasure of working with Mr. Shannon. I hate to tell you folks this, but I did grow up listening to KMOX a little
That's
bit.
Right.
I hate to tell you that. But back in the day, Harry Carey and Jack Buck, and eventually Mike Shannon. Being on KMOX all the time as a kid, I listened to it on a nightly basis. So. I had a chance to be on Mike's show a couple times, and it was very, very cool.
I was on his show from his restaurant outside of the ballpark in St. Louis, and I'm sitting down, and they're going down the 30, 20. Now we're down inside of 10, and Shanny finally sits down, and he goes, I heard of cocktails. Can't have radio without a cocktail. Get that man a Tito's. And he points at me, and here comes a Tito's and a bottle.
That's
and we started radio.
I wasn't doing the show without the pizza out front. It was my thing, Joe. Feed me. I'm fine.
Yeah. Have you guys had it? You've
been
here before.
Oh, yeah.
You've both been here before.
Okay,
yeah, it's amazing.
Well, first of all, Joe,
thank you, brother. Thank you.
Congratulations on the restaurant being open.
Thank you.
It has been a big success so far. Cheers to that.
Cheers, boys. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it very much. Well, let's give you a little background right here. This has been in the works for a couple of years, this particular restaurant, and eventually it became Madden's Post featuring the Flamingo Room upstairs. And I've been talking to Coom for a bit about hopefully doing a radio show reminiscent of what we had done, I had heard about in St. Louis. So this has been on the drawing board for a bit. I thought Coom being Mr. Chicago himself, this guy represents the city as well as anybody I've met since I've been here. And so I thought he's the perfect host for this particular show. So that's what's been going on in the background. I even wanted a black and white TV show out of this whole thing.
I got fans behind us.
Cool kids. So the genesis is all of that, and we really appreciate you coming out here tonight.
Well, in the restaurant thing, it's not just the restaurant, but you had a lot of your own personal touches in this place. Now, I've been to your restaurant in Tampa, Ava.
Yeah, right.
But this is unique to your growing up and your heritage with a little Polish and a little Italian, right?
Yeah, I grew up on 11th Street in Hazleton. My mom's Polish, my dad was Italian, and So when we had this opportunity to make this restaurant, Tony Mantuano flew to Hazleton with the design group, and I took them out to Bellhop, Snaps, the Ovalon, and had them try all the different dishes back home and also get a glimpse of what it looked like. And then all these, you see a lot of pictures, like my grandpop's back over there, that's Carmen. All the ladies are on the wall back over there. So a lot of my aunts from my dad's side, particularly my grandmom Klotzik, the Polish side's back there too. So Tony wanted to morph it into this cuisine, to the Polish-Italian fusion. And that's what you're seeing right now. And we also have Aaron Thibault back there. He's the head chef. I don't know if he's here tonight. But Tony, Aaron, and the entire staff, Tara, who is our manager back there, she's spectacular. So it's a combination of the Italian-Polish background. And the pierogi are great. Everything about it's great. Believe me, man, I've had most everything here, and we're all very pleased.
All of us that travel know a lot about Italian food. I mean, it is what it is. You know, we eat pizza, we eat everything, Italian wine. Yeah, we got Rizzo at the table, so, I mean, we got it covered. Tell us about some of the Polish food that you have here, because that's where I grew up in Chicago. It felt like we were in Warsaw.
It's actually been worth a couple home runs for Anthony, right?
Yeah, the pierogies.
Dad's stand right over there.
Yeah, he's probably, he came over and snuck a slice already.
The pierogi, though, he bought and ate a pierogi, then kept one in his pocket.
Yeah.
And he would show it to you before an at-bat. I saw that because he was standing on his side. He was in the photographer's well, and he had a pierogi in his pocket. And every time Anthony would see it, he'd hit a home run.
I think we could figure out he could get more progies.
Yeah, that's easy. Yeah. That's easy.
I could start eating them between at-bats.
What about today's ball game? This had to be some fun, huh?
Well, it was. Right? They're showing in the background. I'm kind of distracted trying to watch and talk at the same time. See, that's what we're supposed to look like. That's what we look like tonight. That was a complete game of baseball. Johnny took charge. John was outstanding. And watch all these base hits of the opposite field with runners in scoring position. God, do I love that stuff. Anthony, line drive to left field. KB right side. Javi right side. I just love when we play that kind of baseball.
Well, we would be crazy not to talk. We got to talk about baseball current. But you got two key members and the manager of the 2016 World Series champion Chicago Cubs. So I came over in 2014 to broadcast, and we were a very average team at best. And then we made some key signs. Won a skipper. That turned out pretty good. And we signed a left-handed pitcher and a catcher. I didn't know much. I knew a lot about Joe from playing against him as a coach. I didn't know much about the left-handed pitcher other than that he won a couple World Series in a place that had never won before. So I thought that was a good omen.
And you knew nothing about the catcher.
actually, and, let's tell him, Coom. Come on.
And the catcher was this young rookie Dodger locker mate of mine in Los Angeles.
How about
named
that?
David Ross. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, Coom taught me a lot about how to keep my locker nice and messy and how to have a nice cold one after a game. Rossi, you're not gonna survive this game with a nice cold one afterwards.
Was I wrong?
You were not wrong, buddy. You were not wrong. First locker mate I ever had, I don't know if I told you that, Coom, show me the ropes, show me when to be there early, when to get to the cage. Pretty cool example for me, my first little cup of coffee in the big leagues.
How about my first conversation with this guy? And I had always heard about David Ross. I worked against him all the time. I'm in my 67 Galaxy convertible down in Tampa, and I find out that we're going to have David. So I called you from the convertible that time. We had this really elongated conversation. And immediately, you know how this guy's going to add to the ball club, which he obviously did. Do you remember that conversation?
I do remember. I sat in my driveway. I wouldn't get out because I wouldn't let you take you off Bluetooth. I was like, I'm locked in right here. I'm talking to Joe Madden.
No, it was outstanding. And from that moment on, we grew and we got to know one another. And the other thing that stands out to me, probably don't, maybe you remember this, maybe you don't, but in the seventh game, we did that thing where we brought Johnny in and in replacing of Kyle. But you had gone out and warmed up John. You remember what you said to me in the dugout?
I do remember. You said you like him. He said you like John, and I said yeah, but I would use him now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's been up twice and he's been firing bullets and he's on 2 days rest. Right?
Yeah, you thought he looked great. You thought he said he's absolutely sharp. So that's part of you could be influenced sometimes by a guy like him that has caught so long and has caught.
He owned Kipnis, right?
Yeah, of course. He owned Kipnis. He got the dribbler out front.
I threw it in the stands. Yeah, almost got Anthony killed. We won't talk about that. And then I blocked the ball and tripped over my own feet.
This is how all this comes together, though. It happens in the offseason. I'm in my galaxy. I talk to this guy, immediately find out and realize how much I'm going to enjoy having him there. Then it eventually turns into the seventh game of the World Series. He's talking to me in the dugout full gorilla. He had all your equipment on, and you're telling me he's really sharp, he's ready, just go ahead and do it.
He looked mad. He looked really good down there.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Just like, go back to that. I think that game took like 5 years off my life for sure.
Well,
I don't know about you guys, but it definitely took a couple.
Did you run in from the bullpen too?
No, I came in early because we were getting him ready, and he asked me about Joe. Me, you, and
you're
going
to remember this when you get older. Trust me. The golf cart thing is a good thing on a ball field.
Yeah, especially for the catcher. Yeah, I was so nervous that game because I knew I was coming in with Johnny. He had told me, he had prepped me the night before, and said this is how I see things playing out, and prepped me what I was doing with John. And I don't think I got a night's wink of sleep knowing I might come in. And
no, we did choreograph it the day before. We talked about it exactly. I said, when John comes in, you're coming in, regardless of when that moment would occur. So everybody was on the same page in that moment. But I do remember you specifically standing in that dugout looking at me and saying, he's really sharp.
He looked good. He was throwing BB. I think the adrenaline rush, right? I mean, getting up in seventh game of World Series, and he was our horse that year. He had a phenomenal year, him and Kyle. You got Chappie on the backside. Yeah,
it was pretty special.
How many people here that are in this room would like to be a big league ball player? Right? I mean,
I still would.
I'll take it.
How many of you guys would like to take your last swing as a Major League Baseball player in Game 7 of the World Series and hit a home run to straightaway center field?
How about that? Yeah.
Against Andrew Miller.
Right. Yeah, right.
Throwing BBs.
And I caught Andrew in Boston and know how good he is. Yeah, pretty cool. I remember all that craziness happened with the letting the runs in. And I came in and was super, heart rate, super fired up. And John's like, hey, is my stuff? And I was like, you're fine. I messed that up. You look great. You're good. And then trying to get my emotions in check and being on deck. It was a pretty wild experience. And I was going in there. I was like, okay, let's see a couple pitches. Let's get the at-bat. And next thing you know, I'm swinging away. Like, what's going on? And Andrew finally threw one down there in the loop. We call it that little long swing I used to have. Yeah. Anthony said he saw. So, Anthony, I posted the swing on social media, Anthony sent me a picture of my swing broke down. He goes, how did you ever get 15 years in the big leagues with this swing?
He hung out with me too long.
He developed the two-strike approach. That's why.
Yeah, yeah, he's exactly right.
He caught John Lester, so personal guy.
I tell him, I said, imagine when he gets down and he's struggling, he's like, man, I can't buy a hit. I'm like, hey, Riz, hey, imagine going to the plate with my swing, buddy.
Let me ask Anthony something. Anthony, on that last play of the game, I mean, I'm watching from the side, obviously. When KB picked up the ball, did you really see it? Like, it's going to be a good throw all the way. Were you concerned about the slip?
I thought Michael Martinez, because we didn't see him all series. I thought he was a lot faster than that.
Okay.
So I had thought, just don't let the ball get by me, because I thought he was going to be safe.
Yeah.
And then he slips, and I'm just like, oh, God, please don't miss this. I mean, I had pine tar all lined up my glove, but there was no way I was missing that ball. And then once you catch it and secure it,
it's really an amazing feeling,
party
right?
Time.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, unbelievable.
Going into Game 7, you're hitting right in the heart of the lineup. What are your thoughts? What are you guys talking about going into Game 7? We've all played wiffle ball in the backyard, broadcasting our own games. I'm hitting in Game 7 of the World Series. So you were a baseball player your whole life. So were you. We all four were. What do you think of going into Game 7 of the World Series? Because there's a bunch of us that played a long time that never played in the World Series.
Yeah, the game was at 8, so taking the second bus to the field, you're taking the second bus like 4:35.
I know, we're on it every day together.
Yeah, exactly. So same routine. I didn't hit batting practice during the World Series because the whole soap opera outside was just too much for me. So I was in the clubhouse playing Mario Kart on their little arcade game. Doing a little Rocky theme influence for the boys.
And, can you explain some of that?
Riz's
iPod is a little bit different than everybody else's.
I would actually like that sort of explained through Riz's eyes. Yeah, let's hear that.
Rocky was just, what was it, game? We lost game 4. Yep. And then game 5, 6, and 7, I made sure Rocky was playing every day.
We came into the locker room game 5, and Rocky theme over and over again was playing. And what were you screaming to everybody?
Yep. It's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get up.
Right. He's screaming around the locker room.
You see a couple
around.
Of like punches. That's the Rocky theme.
How were you dressed that day?
I wasn't. So, you know, doing my whole like routine and bag.
And I love you.
Yeah, thanks. And then Rondon came over and kind of interrupted my skit, and I got pissed. And then Rossi came in, and he goes, "Hey, you get back out there. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get back up."
He went in the shower to wash off, and I'm like, "You get your butt back out there."
So I went back out, and that was the pregame. I mean, that's how you just take the nerves out of it. It's just you have fun, and that's what we did all year. It's, you have fun. You can't. If you took it too serious, we would have been playing with BBs. BBs. Yeah.
I'll get to my game 7 day, but you touch on like a manager's how they help out the group. When I got outside of baseball and retired and got all that, you realize what chaos was outside of what was going on in our little bubble in here. Yep. We had a bubble that Joe had created and let us be us. And I remember going like, yeah, no, we're not worried about anything. We're just doing us. This is how we do us. And it didn't matter whether you come in game 7 and all the young guys are playing Mario Kart and I'm ready to puke because I'm like, can we get it locked in? It's game 7. Hey, it's my last game I'm ever going to play in my life. Like, can you guys focus a little bit? Yeah. And this guy's dancing around naked on the tables, you know? It's like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing today. All right.
And that's how you get ready for game 7.
Game 6, we scored like 4 or 5 early. And this old veteran here is all pissed off, like, the game's not over yet. The game's not over yet. Like, pissed. And I'm like, what do you mean? The game's over. We won. Okay.
Yeah, right.
And so then game 7, we score a bunch of runs, and I'm just looking at him like, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. And then we're just messing around. It was. That's the group we had, though, is in the heat of the battle, all the chaos, we still found ways to just jab each other and have fun.
And that's the best way. That's the best way. I mean, my story, like you're saying, I mean, I wasn't throw up ready, but you still, I mean, even as a manager, you got a lot of nerves going on that day. There's a lot of decisions to make. I've talked about this before, and even in my bag right back here, my dad's hat's in that bag. My dad passed away in 2002, and I carry that hat with me everywhere. So I'm writing the lineup out in the hotel room, and I had my dad's hat on my lap as I'm writing out the lineup. So for me, it gets a little bit nostalgic. It gets a little bit soapy sometimes, but I really have to try to focus because you have to control your emotions. I mean, when you're making decisions in a game like that, you really got to keep your emotions out of you. You just got to see it for what it is and attempt to make the right call. So it started with my dad. One of the best pieces of advice I ever read was remember Coach Walsh with the
Bill
49ers. Yeah, he said when he was on the sideline, he would pretend that there was a glass window right in front of him, and he'd stay behind the window so that he would keep his emotions behind the window in order to make the decision. So I think of that often. I think when it gets a little bit hot, stay behind the window, stay behind that glass so that you could just really be void of the emotion to make the proper decision. Because if you don't, I promise you, it starts going too quickly. Everything goes fast. So you got to be able to slow it down, like David said. So as players, it's almost, I mean, I don't want to say it's easier, but when you're in the moment and you're playing, you actually do settle down.
No doubt.
When you're on the side, like, you know what it's like watching on TV. God, you are ready to throw up sometimes. So you got to slow it down. You got to stay behind the window and to make the better decisions.
Guys, we're going to take a break here. We are at Madden's Post on Clark and Wayland with the first Madden's Post Game Show. We'll be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Baby, we were born to run.
Now back to Madden's Post, live from Madden's Post at Gallagher Way, starring Cubs manager Joe Madden and your host Ron Coomer on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Cubs, a radio.com sports station.
Welcome back to Madden's Post, the first show of Joe Madden's postgame. We have Anthony Rizzo here, David Ross, two members of the 2016 championship. And Tone, did you get a couple hits tonight?
Yeah, I had one.
Yeah.
One in the walk.
We got the skipper, Joe Madden, and coming up in the next segment, one of our great friends and great singers here in Chicago, the great Johnny Vincent.
Yeah.
One of the best anthems you will ever hear.
Him and Whitney Houston, I think, are the two best I've ever heard.
And he's from my neighborhood. How about that?
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's good. So, guys, we talked about the 16 World Series and all of those things, but, you know, life has gone on since then, still trying to win for Anthony and Joe. David, you and I have... You're not quite in the pasture like I am, but...
I just start clapping when they score, just get all excited.
But, Anthony, so life's going on with you. You've gotten married since the World Series, right?
Yes, I have.
And we see a lot about you and your family who's here tonight and a great foundation that you have. And I think that's part of what we're doing, Joe and I, with this show, is to give people an idea of what life is like, not just hitting a baseball, not just, you know, going to the ballpark every day, but what life is like. Do you like to come and have pizza at a normal place? What do you do? You know, we know you guys do a ton, you know, in the Florida area and the Chicagoland area for charity. So tell us what life's like and what your foundation is going through right now, Anthony.
Well, I mean, just for example, tonight we had about 50 kids here from the hospital that were feeling good enough to be able to come to a game tonight and see a game at Wrigley Field, and was able to meet with them and talk to them before the game. They were able to ask some questions. Just a question and answer about playing baseball and what it was like when I was sick and what advice I have for them. And being able to do that is so much bigger than hitting a home run in the World Series or winning a game tonight, which is awesome. But that stuff is so much – it's real. And those kids, a lot of people – obviously, unfortunately, everyone here pretty much knows someone who's been affected by cancer. And to be able to give them a glimpse of hope and a smile is amazing. And we've donated – probably close to over $10 million to families and hospitals. So it's been amazing how far the foundation has come.
I just got to go with him 2 days ago. We went out to a fundraiser that he was a part of and spent his whole night out there, and they raised almost $500,000.
Yeah, over $500,000. So it's just the support we get has been amazing.
The thing that I really I do follow on Twitter, and the thing that I've always really been impressed about is that just on any given day, I'll see a picture of you somewhere. You'll just show up at a hospital. You'll show up to visit with a group of kids just extemporaneously. You'll just be there. Our days are so structured. There's so much going on a daily basis for me. And I've told you this. Sometimes when I see these pictures, how much I respect what he does and how you do it. Because like he's telling you what happened tonight, but you wouldn't have known that otherwise. And occasionally you're going to see it publicly printed, but Anthony's out there all the time. And again, giving back based on your history. I understand all that, but nevertheless, there's a lot of people that have been through some difficult moments that don't do what you do or your family does. And I get to go to all the events, and I see it, and it's really special.
Thank you. Yeah, it's obviously it's something to me that means a lot. And it's part of my routine. It's part of trying to make people happy. That's really what it's all about.
That's awesome. David, you've retired now from playing, and you've hung out. You two, I know, are really close buddies.
Yeah.
Now,
I put up with him. There's a difference.
So,
what'd you think about his base running play a couple nights ago?
Yeah, I let him know about the base
running. He let me hear about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's nice because he won't punch me. I know that. It's not yet.
Yeah, we're getting old now. No hitting. We're brittle.
Don't
now.
Hurt me.
Yeah. So the thing I wanted to ask you, so we've talked about the World Series, all the serious topics and foundations. When you came to the Cubs and you started hanging around with Anthony, what are some of the goofy things that you guys know about each other that are fun that I've seen some of them on the team playing and boss, but I'll just let you guys talk.
Well, first off, before you go, it was like an instant love connection. There was an instant connection there that kind of...
Man crush?
Dad, son type thing. So, brother, older brother, so...
Dad?
I like right. Dad. Uncle, maybe an uncle.
As much as we joke
I like
around,
dad.
He taught me everything, a lot, pretty much everything I know about leadership and how to do it the right way.
Let me just say this, too. I mean, because people, you hear about this, you read about it all the time, but... And I'm going to embarrass him a little bit. We were very fortunate to get him. I kind of alluded to that earlier. But as a manager, I wanted to be the last person involved in taking care of a situation, the last one. It should be handled within the clubhouse. And you talk about clubhouse leadership, and a lot of times that's overblown and it's just not true. However, when I met this man and I watched what he did and how he did it, I knew it was true. So a big part of our success while he was here is the fact that David was not afraid to say what was on his mind or challenge anybody. And so I love the one time Addison screwed up on the field. He's walking off the field, and I saw Dad walking towards him, and I thought, I'm just going to watch this because I knew you were going to blow him up. But when it comes from peers, it really has a much greater lasting impact. So that's what he did. And I'm telling you, it doesn't happen everywhere, and it's not easy to do. And he made it seem somewhat easy, but it's not. Like us... He's in our locker yesterday or whatever that happened, and he's by my office, and Riz is walking down. He just yells out, "Nice base running, Riz!" I mean, God, I would love to hear that more often. But when you get it from a peer, it really sticks and it makes a difference. And that's what David was able to do.
Well, thank you guys. I mean, I didn't come on the show to cry. Okay, it's enough of all that mess about me. You get a lot of freedom from your manager when you got an open locker room, and I try to tell people all the time, they're like, oh my gosh, like you're only in Chicago for 2 years, that place loves you. And it has, I try not in the media, you know, now I only talk about myself. But back then, I did not, it wasn't about me. And all my teammates and peers said nice things like they're saying now about me, and people listen to them. So I owe all my success and credit to that group and that team, that why this city treats me so well and has, again... Yeah, I did shoot people straight, and sometimes I don't deliver it the best way, and it takes a strong human being to hear the criticism that I give him. You would think he would want to fight me a lot more than he does, and John Lester, the way I talk to these guys, but they take it because they realize it's coming from a place of love, and that I just care about them, and I care about winning.
I know sometimes I even ask you to go. I say, David, come here a second, and I was please go easy on him because I knew where he was going with this whole thing, and you know. Honesty without compassion could equal cruelty sometimes too. So some guys can either handle the truth just like the movie, and some guys cannot. And you really have to understand your audience when you're directing this kind of stuff toward them. You could blow a kid up and pretty much send him back to AAA, or you can embolden him to the point where he's very successful here. So there's a fine line.
You can't handle the truth.
That's right.
We are here at Madden's Post with Anthony Rizzo, David Ross, the proprietor of the joint, Joe Madden, and I'm Ron Toomer here on 670 The Score. And now, David, you got to give us something about Tony that all these fans here are listening. Other than the naked Rocky dance during the Game 7 of the World Series, what do you got for us? Because I know he's got one on you, and I'm waiting to have him blow you up finally.
The story how we met, really, we had the same agents, and we met a long time ago at ESPN doing, he was doing a little bunch of the shows, and I was there doing some TV, and then we went to a football game at Florida State and hit it off, and really got a really good connection before we even got here. But I don't know, Tony, just a special human being, took me under, really, for me to be the veteran, took me under his wing when I got here and showed me how the Cubs worked in Chicago. And so we went out to dinner and just, you know, he attached himself at my hip and me at his. And I learned a lot about this team. But this guy's got such a big heart. We talked about his charity. We used to go work out. One thing he pushed me me, him, and Tim Buss, our strength and conditioning guy, would go work out every day on the road at least once on days I wasn't playing, because the old guy couldn't handle a workout and a play. He could do it. But and we used to have such great conversations about the team and winning and losing and how to deal with, you know, this guy's making me mad or this that guy's making me mad. And you just get to vent a lot when you're together. And just some of the conversations we had were pretty intense. But don't go to Pittsburgh without Anthony getting to eat at his Moe's, because he won't go anywhere else for lunch. Nobody else gets. I don't ever get to choose. He's got
Moe's Tex-Mex right across the street. Can't
be on the Moe's on the square, right on the square. Right
it's like 10 a.m. and I'm eating Moe's. I'm like, hey, can I get a waffle or something? No.
Yeah,
he's the best.
We went to like the Rocky Steps in Philly that year.
That's right.
Did we
went down. Me, you, Caesar took us down to Matt Caesar took us down to the. To the cheesesteak place in Philly.
Yep.
Where else we go? We went to work out in San Diego. Went down by the Tony Gwynn statue and worked all that. Remember that?
Yep.
We used to go. I was trying to take it my last year in. excuse me. And I went to a concert the other night and sang all night. So. Yeah,
that's about what I was going to ask you. Did you teach him a little love of country music and old rock and roll?
Hey, listen, he's the karaoke king right now. I don't know if we want to hear a couple
Tony!
Of
Tony
Stars Born. No.
We got a legend
in
the house.
Start spreading the news.
Anyways, yeah, he thinks he's like. What is it? What is it? The jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, exactly.
He learns the piano and learns a song, and then he's done with it. And he get one karaoke in his hat, and he's good with that one. So
okay, what's his karaoke? What is it?
Whatever you want. I'm just fixing anything. Free.
Boom! He's beating him out. That's outstanding.
Johnny, I think he's going to pass out every time. I'm like, is this the time he's going to pass
we
out?
We are all in the booths, right? So it's all glass, as you know, David, between us all. And now Johnny and I have known each other since he was like 11 or 12, and I was a minor league baseball player, and then we've met as adults. And he gets out there and he sings, and I always get nervous for everybody that sings, first of all. I just get nervous for him. Remember the words at the anthem. There's 40,000 people at Wrigley. And then he starts singing, and then he gets into that note with Free. And I'm like, don't pass out. Johnny, just stop, brother. Just stop. Okay, he made
it. It's like a ski jumper. When he hits it just right, it extends forever. It's his best jump.
You think after all these times of hearing him sing, we would be good with it now, right?
Right.
It still scares the hell out of me every time he does it.
Before you sing, I always look up at Coom up in the box, and I look at Peter, and then I look at John. And I also love when we have the military folks out there, because John will sing directly to those people. Yep. The one time his pop was there, and he sang the anthem directly to his dad, and I loved every second of that. This man over here, his heart is pretty much as big as he is over there. And John, you really are a part of the fabric here in Chicago, definitely of the Cubs situation. We really appreciate you having here.
We are here at Madden's Post. Guys, it's been great having you guys on the show.
Thank you guys
for the
first
show. David Ross,
oh my God,
Anthony Rizzo. How about a hand for David Ross and Anthony Rizzo?
Go.
We will be right back with the great Johnny Vincent. You're listening to The Score at Madden's Post on Clark and Waveland. We'll be right back.
For all station contest rules, go to 670thescore.com/rules.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Yeah! Now back to Madden's Post, live from Madden's Post at Gallagher Way, starring Cubs manager Joe Madden and your host Ron Coomer on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Cubs, a radio.com sports station.
You recognize the sound of the music. You know the music. But I'd first of all like to welcome you back to Madden's Post. Everybody having a good time? This is our first show of Joe Madden's post-game at the Post.
Very nice.
And we are at the corner of Clark and Waveland, as everybody knows who's here.
Right.
But Joe, first of all, as we get back into talking a little bit about your restaurant, congratulations, and things have been a big hit here at Madden's Post.
Yeah, because we have such great chefs and management, that's why, and our wait staff is spectacular. I walk in here, and I promise you're going to be greeted properly. They're all very bright and eager among the wait staff. Like I said, our management, our cooks, our chefs. Everything about this place, I could not be happier about it. It's been in the works for a bit. We have some really superstars actually running this joint. I'm involved a bit, but believe me, the name helps, I guess. I guess I have to concede to that. But for the most part, man, it's about the team that we put together. It's no different than the Cubs. This is the Madden Post team, and that makes all the difference in the world. When you get people that care and really, and on a daily basis, really want to make it the best possible experience for everybody else, that's why it's been successful and why it's going to continue to be successful.
Over the last years, we've been talking because we've have both opened restaurants recently.
Yeah,
mine's
right.
way
Listen,
out in the suburbs.
Yeah.
But we've gone through this time of talking restaurant, right?
We all the time.
Sit in the manager's office, and we're supposed to be doing the manager's show, and Peter Chase has to sit and listen to us talk about what are we doing for glasses, what are we doing for
Love
wine
glasses,
list.
Right.
I know they're going to have Tito's in my joint. And we know they're going to have a good cab, right? We know all these things.
Yeah.
But when we started talking about the decor of your place, that's when things got cool and got fun. And talk a little bit about the pictures, and you get grandparents, and you got recipes, and you got things that are just unique to you.
Well, if you notice the greens and the blacks, I really like green a lot, and I wanted green to be a predominant color here also. The black tiles, there's another, I had another idea for the floor. I'm not going to reveal it right now. I don't know if we're going to do it. I always wanted to do a floor of fame. Everybody's wanted to do a hall of fame or a wall of fame. I like a floor of fame. A lot of this is, and again, I don't want to get too nuts, but I went to Lafayette College, hung out at a place called Jack's, and Jack used to recite poetry when he had one too many cognacs. And one of his famous favorite poems was "Faces on the Barroom Floor," and I thought that would be kind of cool at some point to put a floor of fame. Like Johnny Vincent would definitely be a member
Without
of the floor
question.
Of fame. So that's something else. If you look on the back wall there, there's a letter. I wrote a letter to the people of Chicago. It says, "Dear Chicago," and incorporate a lot of our sayings and slogans from the last several years. If you go upstairs, check out the Flamingo Room. I've always loved flamingos. Sorry, but I do. And when I was where I'm from in Pennsylvania, the real tough barroom in downtown was the Flamingo Room. That's where my football coach, Richie Rabbits, was hit on the head with a beer bottle when I was an 11-year-old quarterback for the State Trooper Eagles. And I always thought, man, that's pretty cool.
And so, you sure that wasn't the south side of Chicago?
It was the Flamingo Room on Broad Street. So that's upstairs. So the colors, the representation, the family photographs, the food, everything. Trying to bring a little bit of Hazleton to Chicago because Hazleton, where I'm from, you got to understand, is a microcosm of this place. When I talk to you folks, when I walk down the street, Jay and I live. By the way, this is my beautiful wife, Jay, right here. Jay.
Jay Madden, yeah, right here.
When we walk downtown, I swear, when people stop and talk to us, it's like I've known them forever. So I really, it was an easy transformation, me coming here, both on the field, in the dugout, whatever. But the city itself and talking to the folks here, I feel very much at home, and I really appreciate that about the citizenry here. It's awesome.
Well, speaking of citizens of Chicago and one of our great friends, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best national anthems you will ever hear, whether it's at Wrigley Field or any sport or anything, any place you will go, is right here at Wrigley. And he got the ultimate, I guess, the ultimate as an entertainer by having your phone and Twitter blow up after doing the anthem in game four of the World Series here at Wrigley Field. Johnny Vincent had just about every entertainer you could imagine blow his phone up about the national anthem he sang here at Wrigley Field. I want to introduce one of my great friends who I've known a long, long time, and a friend of Joe's, John Vincent.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you.
John, you want to share the piece of advice that I gave you prior to that anthem?
Can I say that?
Of course you can.
Yeah.
So I was, like, petrified and you could see that I was going to pass out during that anthem. I was so scared. And Joe is...
this is the World Series anthem.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, game four World Series anthem.
And Joe's Joe Cool. He's Zen. Right. He's the Zen master. He's got me into meditation and all this stuff and everything. And we had dinner a long time ago with Coach and Mrs. Ditka.
Right.
And I was talking about...
Fire away.
Don't hold back.
I do a
Costanza when I go to the bathroom.
It's almost midnight.
Do you guys remember the Seinfeld, the Costanza? Yeah, you take the shirt off to go to the bathroom bit?
Yeah.
So
my buddy does the same thing. Willie does the same thing.
Your buddy Willie, who does the Bruce Springsteen cover band,
exactly,
right?
He does the same thing.
So I go to Joe. I go, I am blank in my pants right now. I am so afraid. I'm so scared to go up there. And here he is in the World Series, the first time since 1940-something, and then the first time they win it since 1908. He looks at me and he goes, Fratello, just imagine everybody in the stands with their shirts off taking a crap. So I look at him and I go, are you kidding me? I couldn't believe how calm
and there
he was.
You have it.
I don't think I said taking a crap. It was something close to
that. Yeah.
Well, I can't say that on radio. It worked because I was laughing because he made me so calm, but I still sounded like crap. But but it was really cool.
So there. Before we have Johnny sing a song or two, there's a story behind everything that goes on here in our great city, and there's a story behind the people. And, you know, everybody wonders why and how and why. And first of all, I always wondered when we reconnected since we were little kids, how you became the singer that you are. And we discussed that. But then it was why. And we were in Joe's office this morning, and Peter Chase brought this up today, our great media relations guy. He said, have John tell the story about why you hold the note. Why? And that, to me, it hit me like a sledgehammer over the head, and I'm like, and this is my buddy. I want to hear the story.
1985, my father takes me to Paulina, Italy. It's in the Abruzzo region. And he put, about 13 years old, he points right here to me. He goes, Johnny, I want to tell you a story. In 1942, 42, 43, your grandmother goes to me, Vincenzo, vai prendere quel tarpa sotto la tanca. Go get that tarp under the tank. We'll make clothes for you kids. We'll cover the firewood. They were really, really poor, and it was a Nazi tank. And my dad goes underneath there to grab the tarp. He turns around, and a Nazi soldier has a gun to my grandmother's head. And he goes, you can have it, but she dies. And I go, well, what'd you do? He goes, what did you think I did? He goes, your grandmother's still alive. This was back then in the 80s. And I go, Dad, I thought, you know, Germany and Italy were friends. And he goes, hell no. He goes, Mussolini was Hitler's puppet. He goes, we got kicked out of our row house. We lived in a barn for a while. He goes, you don't understand how hard we had it. He goes, when I finally came to this country by boat in 1960, I know that this is a place where you can make anything happen. And I hold free. People say, why do you hold free so long? I hold free for that, but I hold free for humanity. I just want to see everybody happy because there's enough problems in the world. I just want to see people happy. And I see the crowd gets into it. If they get into it, that makes me happy.
Outstanding, John.
That is great. Now, guys, the one thing, now, I don't know if anybody has heard Johnny, I'm assuming quite a few of you have, heard Johnny sing. He sings at Coach Mike Ditka's restaurant upstairs Wednesday through Sunday, or Thursday through Sunday.
I got lazy. I'm doing like Thursday to Saturday now and kind of cutting it more and more.
Well, it's not winter. It's summer, so you get a little more time off. But how about if we have Johnny sing a couple songs here at Coach Madden's restaurant? What? Now...
You know this one here, right?
Enough said, yeah.
So if I go, you guys going to join with me?
No.
I see those trees of green. You got to do it right, though, Ronnie. Let's do it right.
I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see Cubby Blue throughout the night. We're flying that W, making me feel all right. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
So that's a little Louis Armstrong, yeah, if that's
that,
okay.
Doesn't that hurt your throat at all?
A little bit with the allergies. Still going?
In the sky, but also at the faces of those people going by, I see friends shaking hands, saying, "How do you do?" They're really saying,
"I'm Lester too."
I see those babies crying. I watch them grow.
They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself,
what a wonderful World Series. Yeah, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Vincent.
Boom.
Now,
thank you, brother. It's
John, I love you. You're my buddy. We grew up in the same neighborhood. But the first time I walked into Ditka's, you are not singing like that. Your voice, when I walked up in Mike's restaurant years and years ago when I was playing for the Chicago Cubs, so we know that's a long time ago, you were singing a song in a different voice. Your signature. Can you do one of those? A Sinatra.
Yeah. You want a Sinatra song?
Yes, I would, please. I would love that. Everybody? Everybody good with that?
You know 17? Is that on there?
I do know that one. I don't have that one queued up.
I love
when
that.
I was
that's
17.
One of, yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Buddy. It was a very good year.
How about for the skipper? His restaurant?
All right.
How about my way?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about this one here? Even.
Go. Okay, go for it.
Let's see it.
Whatever you got. Go ahead.
Oh, that's not it. I think we got screwed up here. I don't know what that is. But
it's
I
live,
had
live radio, live folks. Exactly, bear with us.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah, that was the other song on there. My Kind of Town. Is it on there?
Pat Hughes is not here.
No.
That's why it got screwed up. If Pat's here, we're good. Ron Coomer's running the show. You never know what's going to happen.
I like that, though. It's kind of like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, you know, happens, you just never know.
It's like Saturday Night Live on a Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
It's good enough? Here we go.
Very nice, Johnny.
Well, here we go. This is My Kind of Town. I think about half of the song will do
here
it.
Here we go.
And I'll let you guys talk, because they're here to hear you guys talk, not me sing.
No. This is about you, brother.
So I saw Sinatra live in concert in 1993 at the United Center. And he's been influenced ever since. Now, this could only happen to a guy like me, and only happen in a town like this. So may I say to each of you, most gratefully, as I throw each one of you a kiss, this is my kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of people too. People who smile at you and be. Each time I roam, Chicago is calling me home. Chicago is why I just grin like a clown. It's my kind of town. There you go.
You know, when you sit right next to him and hear him sing, it's totally different.
It's, yeah,
it's outstanding.
It's like, yeah, that guy really does suck.
No.
No, really. When I used to come here, when I came here as a visitor that one time with the Rays, and he sang the anthem the one day, who's that guy? I said, that's kind of Barry Sinatra-esque.
Yeah.
But now getting to sit right next to you and hear that, that's outstanding, my brother. Good for you, buddy. Thank you for you, man.
I want to start a little story about John Vincent. How we met as adults, and he will finish the story of from his version of how he saw the world that day. I was upstairs having dinner with Mike and Diana Ditka at their restaurant. I was playing for the Chicago Cubs. And I went over there to have a nice, nice meal. And I'm sitting there at the table, and I heard that this guy is going to sing. And it wasn't quite time for you to sing yet. And I'm having the tomahawk steak that's as big as this table and a nice glass of red wine. And all of a sudden, this guy, Johnny, spots me from across the upstairs room, and he's locked in on me eye to eye from across the room, and he's beelining right for me. And all I could think of is, oh God, what did I do? Because he is locked in and coming at me, Matt. And I'm like, I don't know this guy. And he is locked in, and I'm like, what did you do? What, you know? We are in Chicago, so you never know. And I'm like, okay. He comes up. He stands at the table, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, if he just pulls my arm off, he's going to beat me with it. And I'm thinking, good God. And Johnny, all of a sudden, the demeanor softens, and he's like, Coach Ditka, and he gets Coach come, gets up and gives him a hug and a kiss. Diana gives him a hug and a kiss. And I'm sitting there like, whoop. Okay, well, I guess I'm good. I'm okay. I'm going to pass this round. And he goes, you don't know me, do you? And I went, no, because I think I would remember you. And he said, oh, you know me. And I'm like, okay, how?
I used to bug Ronnie all the time. My aunts, my Auntie Carmela and my Auntie Josephine lived next to his grandparents. So me and my cousin would play running bases, and I think you were the A's minor league system at that time.
Yeah, I got drafted by.
So you had that shiny green A's jacket on, and like, oh my God,
support it in the neighborhood.
Word everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's a superstar. Well, you know, local guy is like, you know, made it big, and we're all excited. That's Ron Coomer. Yeah. So we'd bug him to play running bases and play catch with us, and he'd do it once in a while. So I go to him. I go, I cut your grandmother's grass when I was a kid, and he goes, He's still looking at me kind of weird, and I go, your grandmother makes the best upside-down pineapple cake in the world. And then his jaw just drops.
Boom.
And he goes, that's it. So his grandparents, Lou and Leonard, were the nicest people in the world. And I used to just sit there and spend summers, leave my aunt's houses, and go spend time with his grandparents. And his grandfather gave me a belt buckle with all these Indian head coins on it, a beautiful belt buckle. Mm-hmm. And I sang at Ronnie's wedding, and a couple weeks before that, his dad passed away.
Yep.
And I gave Ronnie this belt buckle, and he looks at me kind of weird, and I go, Ronnie, your grandfather gave this to me when I was 13 years old. And the waterworks started, and that was it right there. That's, you know, the Chicago way. And
we've been buddies ever since, imagine that, right?
What year was that?
This 2003, the end of
2003. 2003, yeah. Yes,
December of 2003.
Yeah, I went up to Minneapolis to go sing at Fifth Avenue Station.
When I first saw him at Mike's restaurant, it was 2001, the second week of the season.
Gotcha.
Yep.
And I thought you'd sing, because you sang with me a couple nights there. I have
gone up on stage and not sang into the microphone. You know how if you're smart and you go up on stage with somebody who can really sing, you do this. The song starts, and the guy that's really good sings, and then you go like that, and then nobody hears you, and everybody hears the guy that's really good. That's what you do if you use your brain. But, folks, I got one thing. I'd like to hear John sing one more song to finish out the night.
Perfect.
You guys don't mind. And then we will close with some words from Joe. But I'd love to hear Johnny sing one more Sinatra tune if he doesn't mind. And thank you very much for being here tonight.
Yes. My pleasure. Let me get one more tuned up here. Let's see what we have. Okay.
When I was 17, Johnny.
When I was 17?
Find it. Yeah, find it.
All right, let's see. It's, here we go. I got it somewhere. Jesus, this is live radio. I know. Look at me.
It's live radio, John. Don't worry about it. I screw it up every day and it checks the
No big deal.
We have batting practice at 3 o'clock. Let's go.
I don't. Oh, here we go. It's right there.
Oh, there you go.
You just plug it in and there it'll go. This one's for Joe.
And then you know all the words. You memorize all the words. That's awesome.
But you got to sing a little with me.
Nah, man.
Come on. It's just like talking.
Nobody came here to hear that, man. I promise.
Yeah, they did. They'd rather hear you sing. They hear Joe Madden sing. Who wants that?
No. I want to hear Johnny. This is one of his best right here, I think.
This is one of Sinatra's best. Yeah, his voice actually kind of changed.
The words are great.
When I was 17, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for small town girls and soft summer nights. We'd hide from the lights on the village green. When I was 17, this is a really slow one. This is.
It's all right.
This is slow.
It's all you, big boy. Come on.
Set him up, Joe. that's a good one too. When I was 21, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for city girls who lived up those stairs with all that perfumed hair. And it came undone when I was 21. Got your Tito's getting ready right there. A little bit. I'm in the mood to start drinking some Jack Daniels right now. That was Sinatra's drink.
It was a very good year.
It was. When I was 35. It was a very good year. It was a very good year for blue-blooded girls of independent means. We'd ride in limousines. Their chauffeurs would drive. When I was 35, I used to be a smart ass and sing it at Dickers and say I wasn't 35 yet. And that's a long time ago, Ronnie. Now I'm looking back and it's like, man, it does.
It's all good, Bart.
But now the days are short. I'm in the autumn of the year, and now I think of my life as vintage wine from fine older cares. From the brim to the dregs, it poured sweet and clear. It was a very good year.
The great Johnny Vincent. How about that? Yeah. Folks, we just like to say thank you from Joe and I. I'd like to thank Anthony and David Ross and Johnny Vincent. Skipper, it's our first show here at Madden's Post.
How about thanking Ron Coomer, right? Yeah. When I thought about this, that's right. When I thought about this, I went to him immediately because I thought he was the perfect guy for this particular situation. Like I said, he does represent this city as well as anybody that I've met before or after.
Well, thank you.
Outstanding, brother. So listen, cheers. So again, this would be the... This is our first attempt. The next one's going to be, I think, July 12th, is it? That the sun 14th.
14th.
14th. It's a Sunday. It's a Sunday. It's after a day game. I wanted to try it after a night game and then after a day game also and then see if we could build some momentum. The point would be, again, of course, to represent the Madden's Post, but also I've always loved this format, and you all remember what it was like. I grew up on the East Coast, so would watch Kiner's Corner after a Mets game, and Ralph Kiner would sit there at a table with the star of the game in a very hokey way, a very corny way, but a wonderful way, talk about the events of that game, and I loved that. I would stick around after the game. I was on Channel 9, I believe, to watch that show. Even beyond sports, the Tom Snyder Show, all those late-night Joe
we
Pine.
We had the sports reporter show here
the
in
sports
Chicago.
Reporter. All
Bill
those
Gleason
shows.
And
I think we're ripe to bring those kind of things back. Mm-hmm. I think good conversation never gets old. And under the circumstances, what we have here with all the potentialities, whether it's players, we got John here tonight, or maybe just some celebrities that might show up. Eddie Vedder's in Europe right now. Hopefully when Eddie gets back, he might show up. Or even like Bill Murray, if he's in town, whatever. Just to, you know, celebrities that we're going to try to get to come on these different occasions just to add some luster to the moment. But think about it, because we're all, you know, there's some young folks or maybe some not. I just turned 45, so I know.
Cheers, me
but,
too.
Cheers. But I do remember the Tom Snyder Show and things like that that came on late. And I would just want to stay up and listen. I'm always of the ilk that I'm trying to learn something new or different. So who knows where the source is going to come from. So this would be, like tonight, you got a great conversation between Anthony and David. Of course, John and what Coombe did. But I'm just looking for that nugget. You're looking for that nugget when people talk. And see if you could extrapolate from that something that makes sense to you. And so that's the attempt here tonight. Talk about the game, talk about sports a little bit, but I want to talk about the individual, too. So that's the premise. Thank you, sir. It was a great win tonight. But I appreciate it. That's it in a nutshell. Thank you for coming out tonight. And
guys,
we'll see you again on the 14th.
We'd like to say thank you. We had Crane Kenny here. The Cubs president was here.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you to Shane,
Peter,
Dave Miska, Peter Chase, who's helped us get all this stuff kind of situated. But, guys, thank you, all the production people, to make sure this is all work. We're going to go to Les Dropstein next, I believe. He is going to take us home all night long. But you know what?
Thank you, folks. Appreciate
it. For me, Ron Coomer, Joe Madden, Johnny Vincent, and the rest of us, we'd just like to say thank you and go Cubs.
Yes, sir.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.